Okay, we're back on. Here we go. Tonight's shiur is sponsored in the memory of Perel Bas Rivka, and we have Korban Hashem tonight. Korban Hashem. We're going through our list of korbanos. If we go through the list, we talked about Korban Pesach extensively. We talked about, what else did we talk about? We talked about, besides Korban Pesach, we talked about the Korban Toda. Right, Korban Pesach is external from all the other korbanos. It's almost like its own, it's a safer Shmos Korban, different. We talked about the Korban Toda, the Thanksgiving offering, which we learned from Purim, the connections between Purim and the Korban Toda. We learned about the Korban Ola, how the Ola is about Ritzoy, about finding appeasement to Hashem and Kapara. It's not for a specific sin, like a Korban Chatas. It's more for the not doing of an Aseh. We showed how for an Aseh, that was the Korban Ola. We talked about the contrast between the Chatas and the Korban Ola. Let's talk about now the Korban Asham. One second, I have a good favor here.
Anyone object to turning on the air?
Please do.
Go for it. Okay. So Korban Asham, if you can now start checking another one off the list on our understanding what's going on in Korbanos in the morning. So it basically means a guilt offering. And it comes, there are many different versions. There is a Asham Metzora. After someone becomes tahor from, you know, leprosy, they bring an Asham Metzora. There's an Asham Nazir, a Nazir who becomes Tamei Meis, begins an Asham, brings an Asham Nazir. An Asham Vadai, so you have one who gets benefit from Kachim by accident. Kachim B'Shogeg brings an Asham Vadai. It's a guilt offering. Okay, it is a guilt offering. So we contrasted Ola and Chatas. Let's open up the Mar Makomos. And we showed how they have different rules, the Ola and the Chatas. Just, I'm going to clarify again some of the main distinctions for an Ola and Chatas, because it's very relevant for tonight. One of the defining elements of the Korban Chatas is the Zrikas Hadam, which the throwing of the blood is an Avoda of Kapara. By the Chatas, that throwing of the blood is Mamish and Avoda by a Kapara. And it's specific by the Korban Chatas, that it has a specific blood sprinkling that's there to achieve Kapara. Whether you talk about the blood itself, or whether the mice is Rika. You also have, by the Chatas, there needs to be sprinkling, we didn't talk about this last time, sprinkling above the Chutas Sikra, above the line, a higher sprinkling on the Mizbeach, so to speak. We'll talk about what that means. But by a Chatas, you have a higher sprinkling, besides the regular corners of the Mizbeach sprinkling. Kohen's got to sprinkle four times by the Chatas. He's got to put his finger in the dam by the Chatas. He does a whole fancy process by the Chatas, which he doesn't have anywhere else, because the Chatas is a kapara. It's mamish there. The blood avoda is a kapara itself. So now we come to a Korban Asham, a guilt offering. And we ask ourselves, is the guilt offering, and this is the main question of the night, is the guilt offering more associated with a Korban Chatas or a Korban Ola? That's the main question. If anybody who's been learning Kachim and learned the topic of Korban Asham, this is the question on their radar. What's an Asham? Is it more like a Chatas, or is it more like an Ola? Remember, Ola was the one that was there for the positive sins that you violated. It's there not to take care of the sin, but to achieve good relationship between you and God.
What do we care what it's like? Why don't we just make it is what it is?
Because there's going to be nafkaminas. Like, and there's nafkaminas as to what you got to do with it, how you bring it, when you bring it. You're going to see that this affects many areas. There's got to be a nafkamina or else it's irrelevant. Good. Now, let's take a look first how it's similar to that of a Chatas. First, how it's similar to a Chatas. One, there are specific sins that it's brought for. Specific sins, just like a Chatas, is for specific sins. There are specific sins by an Asham. Number two, you also have that it can't be brought just as a volunteer, a neder or a nedava, a pledge. I want to bring an animal. You can't do that by a Chatas, really.
By an Asham, it's a machlokes.
Asham, we paskin cannot be done. Excellent. When you see the machlokas, you see it's not really a machlokas. You're going to see it's a specific area in Asham where they were debating. By Asham Tol. By Asham Tol, maybe there was many. By basically an Asham, it can't be brought as a neder or an adava, just like a chatas. So it has similarities. Look at the pasuk over here in Vayikra. This lushan is very chatas-like lushan. This context over here in the first source is korban asham. The lakach ha-kohen midama, the kohen takes from the dam. The etzba'o v'nosen al karnos ha-mizbeach ha-ola. You put it on the karnos ha-mizbeach. But kol dama yishpach el yesod ha-mizbeach. And you should spill all these. Sorry, that's by the korban chatas. That's the whole avodah by the chatas. Perek hey. If you look at perek hey over there, pasuk tes zayin. It says, "Et asher chata min hakodesh yishalim, v'et chamishaso yosifu." You have to pay an extra fifth for violating using consecrated items. But nasan aso la kohen, v'akohen yichaper alav be'el asham, v'nislachlo slicha kapara, forgiveness. Those are lashonos that are mainly reserved. Those are lashonos that are mainly reserved for ola types of. Kapara and slicha and kapara. Sorry, it's chatas. That's chatas lashon. That the voda is going to be you. Kapara, slicha, mechila from the sin. That's a lashon of chatas. That's a chatas lashon.
Wasn't it like
we had the double? What was the word that was out of place there? The what was the word from last week that was out of place? You remember the word? It was not v'nislach lo. It was what? V'chiper. Yeah, v'chiper. Good, v'chiper. What?
Right. It says
Bakoin Yechaper Love. No, but Bakoin Yechaper Love is Kapara. Which was not called last week. No, it was a grammar. It was one part of the grammar. Chatas is Kapara. Chatas is take care of an Avera. How are we going to get the. We have Chumash here. Alright, so we can get a Chumash. By the time we look it up, there's Chumash in there. Chumash in there, Vayikra. Okay, so I'll look while we're continuing. So the besides that, the Ramban, and we're drawing a connection over here between the Chatas and the Korban Asham. The Ramban, which I have there also on the page. Let me keep the Marmar Kumas packet. Is that all Marmar Kumas packet? It's on page 3, the Ramban. Ramban at the bottom of page 3. The Ramban, this is B'midbar Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel. So he asks over here, wait a second, the Nesiim, they brought all different types of korbanos l'chanech ha-mizbeach, to prepare the mizbeach to get it ready, right? The chinuch process had to be done by the Nesiim, by the heads of the tribes. So even the korban chatas was done on this in this occasion. It was brought. You needed to prepare the mizbeach for everything. You got it ready for everything. Let's do a trial run of each korban to get it ready. Even korban chatas, even though a chatas doesn't come for an adavan, there was no sin yet over here that we're talking about. Still, as part of the chinuch process, it was done. Okay, since it was part of the misgeret of chinuch hamizbeach, it was allowed to be done. So the Ramban said. Ramban asks, why didn't they bring a korban asham? Where did the Asham go? How come there was no Korban Asham here? So he answers like this, that Asham nichlal v'chatas, that Asham is included in the chatas. The fact that they had a chatas going, you see there? Ki achatas v'asham, the third line. Ki achatas v'asham davar echad, v'shem echad hu, v'torah echas lehem. They have one Torah, all in the same. They have one and the same Torah between the two, and therefore it's not going to, and therefore Ramban is clearly laying down the line that the Asham is aligned with the Korban Chatas. And when you don't see an Asham mentioned on a list, because it is Korban Chatas, go for it, please.
There are big differences, though.
So what are major? What are some major differences you want
to
say?
There's a price on the Asham. The Asham has to cost a certain amount of money. Chatas can be Danka, the Gemara says, can be anything.
So what do those differences indicate, even though there are differences? What do they indicate?
They're not totally the same.
Okay.
And chatas and mesas doesn't apply by Asham. Asham is
yireh. Oh, I'm done. The whole shiur is over. Excellent. No, excellent. Beautiful.
According
Mr. Banks,
to Ramban here, is there any difference whatsoever?
Get up. No, I'm kidding. No, I love it. Beautiful.
Next week I wouldn't be here.
No. That's a clue. Go ahead, yeah.
So according to the Ramban here, is there any difference whatsoever?
According to the Ramban, he'll understand there are halachic differences. He's not disagreeing, Mr. Banks is saying. There are Gemaras that say there's differences. But he's saying they're detailed differences. They don't change the category. And Ashim is still a Chatas. Just like in a Chatas, you can have variations of the types of Chatos. And Ashim is just a variation of a different Chatos. That's it. However, I'll tell you where it bears similarity with the Ola. I still have to find the other Pasuk so we can prove what we said last week, 2 weeks ago. But on the other hand, it does have some similarity with an Ola. Why? Because where is the blood sprinkled for an Ashim? You know where it's sprinkled? It's sprinkled lamata mechut hasikra, beneath the chut hasikra, beneath the line. That's not a chatas. That's ola. An Ashim needs shtayim shehein arba, while a chatas needs straight out four sprinkling, four sets of sprinkling. That's again like ola, not arba mamish, shtayim shehein arba. You don't need the tefillah be'etzbo with the finger. That's how I knew I was reading the wrong pasuk at the top. That's from chatas. Sprinkling with the finger is chatas. And the asham is a male animal. What else was purely a male animal we learned? We said the korban ola is defined by it being a male. We talked about the tail covering this, covering that. But it's defined by it being a male animal. So if that's the case, we could see that it's parallel to the category of an ola itself. So which one is it?
That's why there's no vlad osham. All those dinim don't apply.
Of vlados, like it does by good. We can talk about that. Excellent. So let's talk about what? You can see when you get to it. The
males don't give birth.
What happens to the offspring? Okay. So now the kedimas we're going to talk about here. That's one way to take a litmus test. One way to take a litmus test is to look at what comes first. What comes first in the hierarchy? One of the great prakim of Zvachim, if you're going to learn any perek in Zvachim that you could do with a little bit more ease, is the perek Kol HaTadir, which that perek, which Pei Tes, starts in Pei Tes and Aleph. So that perek is very nice because it has the concepts of Tadir, the She'eno Tadir, that's where we get it from, the concept of Kol Makudish Mechavero, anything which is holier comes first, comparing those concepts, Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs, passing over Mitzvahs. It's almost like a brachos variation of kachim, that perek. It's a nice perek, and a good one to learn. So, which one comes first, let's say? So you have a Mishnah in Zvachim, page 4. Pei Tes Amid Aleph. I'll give you a background. The first Mishnah on Pei Tes Amid Aleph, which is not on this page, is not the one you need for right now, is Tadir. That in general, when you have two things which are a certain time frame, which one comes first? The thing that is more frequent, that comes first, okay? Tadir will come first. That beats out the option of the other thing that you're looking at two different things. One thing is more frequent, laning a haftorah, we value Tadir all the time. But what if something is not a time issue? For example, you have two korbanos that are not about time, bringing a korban chatas and bringing a korban ola. That's not about time. Oh, you can make a calculation in the base of Migdash and find out that more people are bringing chatas than ola. That doesn't change that it's got nothing to do with Tadir. Tadir is an issue in calendaric time, not frequency that people happen to bring it. That's a side tangible that does not affect the issue of Tadir. And therefore, since you don't have Tadir to play with when you're going Chatas versus Ola, you have to use a different litmus test as to what comes first. You have to use the concept of Kol HaMakudish Mechavero. Whatever is holier comes first. You first want to take the test of what's more frequent. So a Korban Tamid, which was mandated every day, will come before the offering of sin offering. Because Tamid is a time issue. It's supposed to be every day. That's more frequent. But when you're dealing with the Chatas and an Ola, which are not about a certain time in the calendar, that's about reaction to what you as human beings do, that's not on the topic of Tadir. That's another. That needs another litmus test. That needs Kol HaMakudish. So the Mishnah says, Kol HaMakudish, I was pointing out a fabulous question in the Ratz Ketzvi. The Ratz Ketzvi asks a wonderful question. He asks, why when you put your talis, the talis goes on before the tefillin. The talis goes on before the tefillin because we assume mylin be mitzvahs ve'ein moridin. You go up in mitzvahs ve'ein moridin. So when do you then say kol hamakudish mechavero kodem eschavero? How do you have a concept of Milan? You go up in holiness if you have a concept of Kol HaMakudish Mechaver or Kol HaMeschaver. How do the two jive? We'll save the answer for when we get to the Shirin Kol HaMakudish.
Now, Talis isn't Kodem because it's put on Shabbos, whereas Tefillin are only put on 6 days a week?
No, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote Tadir, which is interesting. Shulchan Aruch quotes the reason of, what's it called, of Milan Mekodesh. In the ties of the issue of what comes first out of your Talis bag, you hit the Tefillin first, or you hit the Talis, which one you put, okay, that whole story. Now, fine. So the Mishnah says, Kol HaMakudish Mechaver Kodem Eschavero. So therefore, the Dam Chatas, the blood of the Chatas, is going to come before the Dam of the Yola. Why? What makes it more holy? Mipnei shehu meratze, because it achieves meratze. Don't use the word meratze here like I was saying 2 weeks ago. Makes you good between you and God, appeasement. Meratze here means it's about kapara, it's forgiveness. It's very much a forgiveness type thing, chatas, to take care of a sin. The blood itself is a sin taker care of her. By the blood, by an ola, it's not a sin taker care of her. That's not what it's there for. Okay, so the blood by a chatas is there for the appeasement. It's the sari. It's the clincher on the sari. That makes it holier. Then we say the avare ola, the limbs of the ola, come before the emure chatas, comes before the innards of the chatas. Why? Mipnei shehu kolil. The ola is completely burned. Kolishim. It's completely burned. While the chatas is eaten, it's necha lakohanim. The chatas is eaten by the kohanim. So different criteria over here. And then the Mishnah continues and says, chatas kodemesli asham. The chatas comes before the asham. Why? Mipnei shedama. The blood is nitain ledalid karagnos al yasod. Four corners on the yasod, on the base. Four corners on the base. So the chatas comes first. So now here's the question. Question number one. If the chatas is mechaper, the korban, right? If the chatas is the korban that brings you kapara, forgiveness, and that was the trump card over the ola, why not give that as the reason that it is the trump card over the asham? You understand? If the chatas wins over an ola because it's a kapara, a forgiveness enabler, why doesn't it then use that same reason, the Mishnah, when you're looking at Asham versus Chatas? Instead, it goes in a different direction. It uses the reason of blood sprinkling. Why not? So the Shitu Mekubetzes answers. You want to know why not? Look at the next page, 5. The Gemara is all print in Zvach, and the Shitu Mekubetzes is on the side. Letter Bet. You see letter Bet? So he says over there, the reason is because at the end of the day, Asham Nami Meratze. Because Asham also does the same thing as a chatas. A link, again, asham and chatas are linked in their function, and therefore the only way a chatas is going to beat an asham is you have to go into the sprinkling issue. So you see, it's, again, got a link back to the chatas itself. But then look at the rest of the Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah. And this is where you have problems. The Mishnah says, but an asham kodem latoda. An asham comes before a thanksgiving offering, va'el nazir. Why? Mipnei shehu kodshei kodshim. The asham is holy of holies. Here's the question. If the Shita Mekubetzes is right, that an asham also achieves kapara like a chatas, why when you are doing now asham versus toda, why did they come to kodshei kodshim? Just say, because of kapara. Meaning they used the reason of kapara when it was chatas versus ola, and it was a great trump card. I understand why you couldn't use kapara when it was asham versus chatas, because they're both kapara. You needed something else. But now when you're going asham against toda, why not go back to the reason of saying kapara? Why not go back to the reason of saying kapara? That's one question. Why is that? Meaning, why is the Mishnah not willing to define what the asham's about? It doesn't want to say it. We're only guessing from inference, comparing off to anything else. Yeah.
Kodshei kodshim is a super category, and that's why they use that, whereas the other things are not. In other words, kodshei kodshim, kodshei kalim is where this whole Indian breaks down, so that they lock it, I think, into that. Because that's a big category. That's a major category.
Okay, so you're saying that it went bigger, kodshei, but meaning if they use the argument by chatas versus ola, right?
That's why they do.
Okay, good, yeah.
Well, chatas versus ola, you can't say kodshei kodshim, because they're both kodshei kodshim.
Right.
You know,
Torah is
and once you're going to compare Asham to Torah, you could say, well, you know, the most basic thing about the Asham, when you look at Asham versus Torah, is Kachi Kachim is the most basic thing.
So you're saying that Kachi Kachim is the ultimate trump card. It's the ultimate trump card.
You can't say it by Ola versus Chatos.
Right, because they're both kosher. We said that. Now that we're all saying kabbalas every day.
Good, yeah.
Go for it. The way
I
understand you to
define
the Mishnah, yeah. It sounded, I heard everybody, Damachat is called in the Tabar Ola is a subset of Kolam Kodesh Mechaveh Rav Kodesh.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was like this. Chathas and Ola frequently you have a mitzvah
to do both.
Both of them.
Yeah, good.
For a lot of issues. And
good.
I understood that the Ola is not going to achieve anything unless you've got Kapara.
We said 2 weeks ago. We said 2 weeks ago.
So it was almost as a pragmatic issue, not an issue of which is Mukudah.
We said 2 weeks ago that the reason why an Ola, we said, you're right, the Chathas comes ultimately before the Ola because the Ola is just the Doron.
Right.
But that's this. That's this idea. What do you mean it's just the Doron? It means that Chathas is the real achiever of atonement and forgiveness. The Ola is now the positive rebuilding of a relationship.
Right.
It's the same idea.
Right.
It's just explaining it in a nicer way in the Gemara, more fleshed that way. Okay? So, you know what? You're right. You guys are right with the question, by the way. A different alternative answer, but go ahead, yeah?
So I don't know. The question to me is, if Chathas and Ola have this relationship that they frequently find that different people have a field to bring both of them, you similarly find that by Asham and Toda?
I don't know. I guess it would depend on the situation, but
Asham are specific. Toda is for when you're
feeling of gratitude, the four basic situations, then you could offer it. I could imagine many times when someone's bringing a guilt offering anyways, they want to say thank you about something else. I could imagine the two are going to happen frequently. Mistama does, if they're discussing here in the Mishnah what to do, which one's going to come first. Mistama, yeah, but they're so far from each other, meaning so much so that no one would ever give a shear on Asham versus Toda. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ola's still in the ballpark even near Chathas, because Ola's fixing something. It's just not about Kapara. It's about patching up the fact that you let a positive mitzvah go. But Toda's not patching up anything. Toda's just saying thank you. It's like in left field entirely. Not to say no one bring the same time. So now my second question over here is, and you could answer like the way Mr. Banks and Toby were answering, simply Kachem Kachem is the trump card. They just couldn't use it before. Fine. My main question is this problem. The Mishnah said, why does Chathas beat Asham? You remember what the reason why Chathas beats Asham?
Well,
sprinkling, right? The sprinkling on the four corners of the Mizbeach. The Dalit corners of the Mizbeach. So if anybody knows the laws of what happens to a Korban Asham, Rashi says, I have Rashi over here. Rashi says, Va'ala Yesod. You see Rashi on page 5 on the right side, Va'ala Yesod. Shvichas Shirayim. When do you sprinkle on the four corners on the Yesod? This is another Kachin principle we never talked about. What's this sprinkling on the Yesod? What are you sprinkling on the Yesod? Oh. Sprinkling on the Yesod is the leftover blood that you have. It's the Shirayim. We're going to have a separate Shir on Shirayim. You have Shirayim. We're going to have a lot of Shirayim on chicken tonight. But you have Shirayim on the blood, and you sprinkle it. It's the leftover stuff. So the Mishnah was saying, that's by Chathas. So Rashi's getting to something here. Rashi says, Shvichas Shirayim, Uva Asham Lo Matzinu Shenemru. By Asham Lo Matzinu Shenemru. By Asham, we don't find that it was explicit, that it was said. What does that mean? Rashi's getting at the following. You know that the halacha by Asham is that you also sprinkle the Shirayim on the Yesod? There are 47 Gemaras to that effect, that by an Asham as well, you sprinkle on the Yesod. So what's the Mishnah saying that Chathas beats the Asham because the Chathas, you sprinkle the Shirayim on the Yesod? So Rashi is telling you, Shenemru. We don't find it explicitly said by Asham. We do it because we make Diyukim, we make a Limud, we add it also. But which one is said explicitly? Chathas has it explicitly said. Okay, has it explicitly said. So the Shita Mikubetzes asks, what's Rashi saying? At the end of the day, we know the halacha. Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai says, both of them get sprinkling on the Yesod. Chathas should come first because of explicitness in the Psukim. We never have an example like that. That something should be more important in the Torah because the Makor for it was more explicit than the other one. If anything, we try to be machmer the other way, to show the chashivas of a drasha, to show the chashivas of the Rabbanan having a limud. Right? That's what we said, Chasam Sofer's Prakoch Tera Adif. Not for now, but that you have to show when the rabbis have a drasha from the Torah, that it's a full-fledged drasha. So what's Rashi saying here? Oh, because one is more explicit, therefore the Chathas should beat the Asham. That's not a premise that we have. That's not the concept at all. So if that's then the case, what the Shita Mikvetzes is saying, is then what then is the Chiluk? Why should the Chathas come before the Asham? Why in the world should the Chathas come before the Asham? Okay. Next. What comes first? We're going to answer all this, Gavin. What comes first? The Ola or the Asham? If you're making a checklist, it's like an LSAT questionnaire. What comes first now? The Ola or the Asham? Based on everything, what should be first, the Ola or the Asham? So the Gemara on 89b. Oh, wasted page on 6 because I didn't minimize properly. Page 7. Your notes should go on page 6. Page 7. Here the Gemara analyzes the Mishnah we just learned. And the Gemara goes through this and says that at the end of the day, the Ola comes first because of Khalil. I'll show you which Gemara it is. Avery, we're talking about Ola versus Asham versus Ola. Okay, you see it there? It's the fourth wide line. Iboilahu, Dam Ola v'dam Asham. Eza mehem kodim. Which one comes first? Dan Ola kodim, it comes first. Why? Deka'ati mekoach kalil. It's going to get totally consumed. By a korban Ola, you burn everything. No, nobody eats nothing. O Dilma, Dam Asham kodim. Why? Demechaper. Maybe the blood of the Asham comes first because it has the power of kapara. Right?
Question would be, why is Khalil a big deal? Why should Khalil be a
Makhdur? Oh, excellent. Mr. Banks and the Sfas MS ask as follows. We already saw by the Khatas that the Khatas beats the Ola. That tells you that Kapara trumps Khalil. That Kapara beats Khalil, consumed. Why would the Gemara have a Hava Amina after the Mishnah already dealt with this? That if we know from the Mishnah, this is Mamishel said, if we know from the Mishnah, Chatas beats Ola, because Kapara is more important, even than something which is Khalil, then Asham, which we're going to say is Kapara, whether Shita Mikubetz is explaining, the Gemara seems to be understanding as well, if it's Kapara as well, then why would I have a Havamina now that it should lose to something which is Khalil? That's the question the Sfas MS asks, okay? It's a good question, solid
the
question.
The Mishnah itself said, the next one of the Mishnah was Avery, Ola, Kodman, and Avery, one
regards
the
Khatas
is going to be first, another
regards
the
Ola
is going to be first.
Oh.
No, but what I asked is not what the Sfas Emes said.
Am I wrong?
Why is
Khalil
even a marker? Why is it a
Khalil? You're not only asking it by Asham, you're asking it by Khatas as well.
Yeah, why is it a Khalil?
Why is Khalil at all a factor?
Up. That's a dinig, it's burned up.
Kula la Hashem, though. Khalil says it's Kula la Hashem. It's more Gavoa. It's not limited by human involvement. I'm going to get to what Joel said in a moment. The Rambam adds in Tamidin Perek Tesalacha Hey. I'm going to put that on the first page. Where do I know where I put that? Tamidin Perek Tesalacha Hey. No, it's on page 8. Yeah. So, we might have to split Asham into two Shirim, but alright. Page 8. The Rambam. Dam hachatas kodem ledama ola. Why? Mipnei shedam hachatas mechaper. Because the blood of the chatas is mechaper. Right? The dam hachatas comes for dam ola because dam hachatas is mechaper. Evare ola kodem leemure chatas. Mipnei shaola kulul ishim. The answer to your question, by the way, Joel, is that the kapara of the chatas comes through the blood. The kapara comes through the blood. Not the rest of the process. That's where the kapara comes through. So when you're not dealing with the blood, then Khalil's an issue. But by Asham, where it's about kapara, which the Gemara seems to concede it's about kapara, why would I think Khalil should trump kapara? So the Gemara says, Dam Ola v'dam Asham, Eze sheyirtze yaktim. At the end, you see that? When you have Dam Ola versus Dam Asham, whichever want to come first, go first. First of all, is that against the Gemara? Number two, maybe the Gemara is leaving it as a suffix. Which one, whichever one you could pick. But wait a second, why should it be a suffix if we know that Kapara comes before Khalil? Right? And the Rambam's saying, pick whichever one. Eze sheyirtze yaktim. Whichever one you want could come first. Okay. So I wrote down, I don't have it in the packet, I have the Mari Kurkis, answers the Rambam. Mari Kurkis says, good name, right? Mari Kurkis says that sheyesh lechatas shnei, you know, you think the Briskers invented shnei dinim? Mari Kurkis was old. I mean, Mari is already quoted by Rin the Ritva. I mean, right after the right, in quoting the Ritva, actually, Ritva's Rebbe might be. So the Mari Kurkis says sheyesh lechatas shnei dinim. There's two dinim in the chatas. There's two dinim in a korban chatas. It's meratze, meaning it achieves atonement. V'gam, right, he meratze, v'gam dama nizrak al dalek karotnos, v'ze maspik lekodem la'ola. That's enough to beat the ola. Sheyesh rak din echad shehu kolil, which only has one thing. The ola's got one thing going for it. It's kolil. The what's it called? The chatas has two. The chatas has meratze, ritzui, and it's got dama nizrak al dalet karanos on the four corners. But asham only has one of the dinim, which is that it's meratze. It's like achieves kapara. It atones. Therefore, it might not beat the what's it called? It might not beat the ola. What's he saying?
You throw it on the yisod.
What? Asham. I thought we said we throw on the yisod. Good.
Number one, number two. Why? Okay.
Yeah. So, first of all, this is very strange. What is it about adding up points? It's like a rotisserie league, right? We're adding up who has more things on a checklist, and that's the one that's going to win. That's how you define Kol HaMakudish? Maybe? Could be. So, the answer, I think, lies in the Girsa itself, and I think once we get to the Girsa of the Gemara, two Girsos in our Gemara, I think you have a working explanation that distinguishes Asham, Chatas, and Ola, and what's going on here. Look at the Gemara again of 89b. That Gemara was on page 7. Okay. Keep 8 right nearby. Is 8 on the other side in your packets? I have them separate pages, but they're right nearby. Right, be ready to flip. You see the top of 8 is the Sheet of Mikubetzis? So we're going to look at the Gemara first. Now look at this Gemara. You see the parentheses? It's on the 5th wide line, 6th wide line. Follow this carefully. So go to the two dots on the fourth white line. Ibailahu dam ola v'dam asham ezemehem kodem. Which one comes first? Dam ola kodem l'dam chatas. Am I reading it? Yeah. Kodem. Dam ola kodem. Why? Deka'ati mekoach kalil. Maybe the dam ola should come before the dam asham because it gets totally consumed. O dilma dam asham kodem. Why? Deka'ati mikoach demechaper. It comes from the koach of mechaper, if I read the parentheses. The ka'ati mikoach de mechaper. Now get rid of the parentheses. In general, the rule of thumb is when we read the Gemara, we read it with brackets in, parentheses out. So we read it without parentheses, and Rashi says in the bottom right corner of that page 7, you have Rashi. Rashi tells you, you see last two lines? Hachi garsinan. This is the argirsa. O dilma dam ashim kodim de mechaper. It's mechaper. It's similar to a chatas. That girsa is saying it's mechaper, similar to achatas. That's what an asham does. What's this alternative girsa doing? So, and who says we should read it this way? The Shita Mekubetzis on the top of page 8, Zion, he's the one who has the other girsa. Shita Mekubetzis is very old. It's a very old girsa. He says, Kodem, deka'ati mekoach mechaper. It's coming mekoach mechaper. Kach girsa kol asfarim. Aval Rashi garis kodem de mechaper. He gets rid of the words mikoach mechaper. What's the difference? One is a mechaper, or it's coming mikoach.
Sounds like a lesser letter.
What?
Mikoach mechaper sounds like a lesser letter. Sounds like a derivative.
A subdivision. Meaning, the reason I need to bring it, the chiyuv to bring it, is a need for kapara. That's the mechayev. I need to bring it because I have an obligation of kapara. That's what I'm saying. Meaning like this.
It's an inherent din in the...
What?
I mean, like, it's an inherent din that it's mechaper. It's more inherent. The kasi mekach means it's almost something external.
External to it. I would say like this. I saw it as a process. Meaning like this. Rashi saying it's mechaper. Same thing as chata. Same thing. Hainuach. Same thing. Shiti Mekubetz is saying, de ka'ati mekoach de mechaper. The reason that I bring it is because of kapara. Once it starts off on the kapara train, though, it swerves. It goes off the kapara train. Meaning, the reason I'm bringing it is because it's kapara. But in its essence, and everything I'm going to do with it, and all the parts of its process, they don't really have to do with kapara. I have to bring it because I have to make up something I did wrong. But is it intrinsically, really at its essence, everything I'm doing acts of kapara? No. Meaning, it started off on the same train as chatas, but it's not really a real kapara animal. The train got derailed. The ka'ati mekoach kapara. It came from the koach of kapara, but it's not really a full-fledged kapara animal. That's the Shita Mekubetzes reading over here. If you take the Shita Mekubetzes reading, I think he's saying it's more like Ola. Why? It's starting off on the kapara train. You got to fix something. But then it's really just about achieving like a certain connection between you and Hashem, which is what we said about the Ola. The Chatas, though, stays very focused on fixing the chait, the sin. Ola was not about fixing the sin. We said forget the sin. It's about fixing and repairing your relationship with Hashem. It's not sin-driven. Chatas is mamish sin-driven. It's mamish sin-driven. And therefore, what it seems to me is they have this what their machlokus is all about. Could be reading too much into it. But I think their machlokus is all about is really what is the Asha more like? Is the Asha more an Ola or more a Chatas? If it's more a Chatas, then say like Rashi. It's a Mechaper. Same thing. If it's more like an Ola, say it comes that I gotta forgive something, I gotta take care of something, but at the end of the day, it doesn't get focused and busy with dealing with sin. It's busy with achieving a proximity of me and Hashem. That's Ola.
This all gets twisted or problematic when you deal with Asham Tali.
What?
What kinds of Asham
Tali? I'm gonna do Asham Tali. I could even get it in this year. What time is it?
Because that becomes a problem.
I could do it. We can get to it. We'll do Asham Tali. I wanna plug it in first. I wanna plug this thing in. And try now first with the Zrika business. What's going on with the Zrika? Yeah.
How does the changing train tracks work?
What I'm saying is that the reason why you're generated to bring, what's generating this need to bring the Korban Asham is Kapara. I got to take care of something. But Ka'ati Mekoach Kapara means that's why it's coming, but it's not really staying with it. It doesn't need every process, the sprinkling to be an Avoda of Kapara. It's coming because of Kapara, meaning that's like the way we define Ola. It's not so focused on the detail of the sin. It's focused on taking care of something and bridging your relationship with Hashem. The other one, Rashi, sounds straight up. This is mamish like a chatas. Maybe technical deviations, but it's a chatas. So now we're going to get into a great piece from the Briskera, from the Griz. It's a classic piece from the Griz. If you look at the bottom of page 8. Okay. It says over here, this is the makor of Chatas needing Zrika. The Samach Yadu al Rosh HaSeir V'Shak V'Mokom HaSher Yishchar Ta'ola Lifnei Hashem Chatasu. This is a Korban Chatas. V'Lakach HaKohen Midam HaChatas Be'etzbo V'Nosen Al Karnos Mizbach HaOla V'Ezdamo Yishpach El Yisod Mizbeach HaOla. You shall spill the blood on the Yisod Mizbeach HaOla. Okay? That's the makor that a Chatas needs Zrika Sadam Al Karnos Mizbeach. We don't have an explicit makor in the Torah as to the nature and how to spill the rest of the blood of the other korbanos. We don't. It's not pashut. It's not clear. We don't have a clear makor. But if you look at Rashi, to Zvachim Yud Amid Aleph, says that what is the makor? The makor basically is, it doesn't say... The makor itself is that it doesn't say the word karanos by them, corners, and it doesn't, the makor for all the rest of the animals is that it doesn't say the exact word karanos, teaching you that the sprinkling should be different, chatas versus everything else. Chatas versus everything else. And there's a few Rashis like this, where Rashi seems to be pitting the sprinkling of the blood of the chatas on one hand versus everything else on the other side. So there's no reason to machalik between the Zrikas Dam of the Asham and the Ola. It's all one big hodgepodge once you're outside the Chatas world. Chatas is the only one that has a real specific intensive blood process, because that's the Kapara. Once you get into everywhere else, it's a basic blood, throw some blood, get out of there, go home. Okay, it's a basic blood sprinkling process. Now, the Gemara in Zvachim Yudam Abeis, page 9. Over here it says that the blood of the Korban Ola, Asham Amar Abai, fourth line, Amar Abai, Asham Damo, over here you have a machlokas, you have Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Abaye, whether or not the blood of the Asham should be above or below. Why should there be a difference? What we just saw from Rashi is that Chatas is the only one that's above, Chatas is unique, everything else is lumped together. Everything else, the blood is below. Why would Asham be excluded from the box of blood of everything else if the Torah didn't say so? So the Rambam in the Perish Mishnah says like this. I don't have it in here. I'll read it to you straight here. Listen to this. Very interesting Lashon. The Rambam says like this. Kol Zman Sheti is Perish HaMishnah Samech Beis HaMabeis. Kol Zman Sheti Heye Chatas Behema Lamala Tie Ola Behema Lamata. behepech makom lefisha ola miucheses liyasod. Chatas and ola are two entirely opposite things. Meaning it's saying wherever your chatas is going to be above the line, the ola's got to be below the line and the opposite. Why? Because Rambam is saying that the ola and the chatas are two opposite worlds. That's what we saw 2 weeks ago. They're two opposite worlds. Once we have this tension that they're two opposite worlds, we then leave the question open-ended of which one is Asham more similar to. The Gemara that started entertaining this suffix of where should the blood of the Asham go was wondering about this very same tension. Is Asham an Ola like Korban and keep it far from where the blood of the Chatas should be? Or is it like a Chatas and keep it above the line? Which one is it? This is the tension that keeps coming over and over and over again. The Gemara wonders, where is the Asham most comfortable? Is it above the line in Chatas world? Or is it below the line in Ola world? Okay? In Ola world. Now, this is the question of the Griz. Here's the Brisker of. Okay, here's the Brisker of. The Rambam I just read to you, I'll read it again. V'chol zman shetiyeh chatas behema lamala, tihiyeh olas behema lamata. Whenever the chatas behema is above, the ola's got to be below the line. Behepech makom. Opposite. Chatas and ola are two opposite worlds. Why? Lefi shah ola miucheses liyasod. The blood of the ola is more attached to the yasod, to the bottom of the mizbeach, to the bottom of the mizbeach. So says the Griz, lama harambam mevi din yasod into the topic of zrika sadam. Why is the Rambam bringing the word yasod into the topic of the zrika sadam? What's he asking? 1 second background. When do you sprinkle on the yesod? You know what the yesod is for? The yesod is for the leftover blood, the shiare hadam. That's what the yesod is for. The above the line and the below the line issue has nothing to do with yesod. That's regular zrika. There's regular zrika, throwing blood, which was part of the process, and then there was the leftover blood. Leftover blood goes on the corners, on the base. That's the yesod. Okay? They go on the corners. That's separate. That's dealing with what do I do with the leftover food? What do I do with it? Bottom and top is the basic food. What do I do with the blood? Basic. Top or bottom? Let me know in the checklist. The yesod thing, that's what I do with the leftovers, the shirayim. So why is he bringing it in here? So the Briskerov says as follows. Briskerov says as follows. He says that this din that the Rambam says of yesod, is it a din in the yesod mamish? Or is it that the chut hasikra Cholek hamizbeach lishtayim, lamala yeshlo din keren, v'lamala lo yeshlo din yesod. What he's saying is like this: that when the Rambam refers to the yesod over here, is he talking about yesod as just a marker as far as place, or is he talking about yesod as far as this halacha of sprinkling the remainder on the yesod? When I talk about the yesod, I could talk about it as far as if we're talking at a wedding, talking and learning kachim, and I say to you, hey, how about those yesod stuff? So you would think I'm talking about the avoda of the leftover blood on the yesod. He's saying maybe yesod over here is not talking about the avoda. It's talking about just the location. The blood that was sprinkled lower, he's calling it yesod because that's where it was near. It was, not that this is referring to the leftover blood on the yesod. This is referring to the regular avoda sprinkled.
He's talking about all the dinim of
up on the bottom.
Anything below the
anything blood. Below, he's calling yesod because that's the location. It's by the yesod. Yesod sprinkling, when I talk about a topic of yesod sprinkling, that's just for leftovers. But maybe when the Rambam refers to it, he's just referring to the whole bottom as the yesod. Now, why does this relate to us and why do we care? So, this is his connection. This is his connection. By the korban ola, where the sprinkling is below, and the spilling out of the leftovers, the shvichas hashirayim, that's a one din of keneged hayesod. That's one din of where is it? Keneged hayesod. But by the korban chatas, there are two dinim. There's a sprinkling of a blood above. That's zrika al hakeren. That's a formal act of zrika al hakeren. And then there's a second din of sprinkling the shirayim below. below. Let me say it clear. Okay, I'll say it clear. By the Korban Ola, there is one din. I got to sprinkle everything I have near the bottom. Keneged HaYesod. That's the location. The location where everything that Ola goes is on the bottom. For the Korban Chatas, there's two dinim. Where's the location of where sprinkling goes? It depends. If it's the formal act of sprinkling blood, that's on top. If it's the sprinkling of the leftovers, it's on the bottom. See, by the Korban Ola, the formal act of sprinkling and leftover sprinkling is all in the same place. It's in the bottom. By the Korban Chatas, the formal act of sprinkling is on the top, and the leftover act of sprinkling is on the bottom. So by Chatas, you have two packages, two separate packages. By the Ola, you have one package. Okay, so you see that the Zrika and the Kapara of a Chatas are totally different than the spilling of the Shirayim. The Zrika and the Kapara, the atonement sprinkling of a Chatas, is separate from the sprinkling of its leftovers. Top, bottom. Top, bottom. Now. What? So now we can answer our question. What was our question before? The Mishnah said that a Chatas comes before an Asham. Why? Because of Yesod. Achatas comes before Asham. Why? Because sprinkling Yesod. Rashi said the answer, which was very difficult. They all get Yesod at the end of the day. Oh, just one is more explicit in the Torah. But Shita Mekubetzes was right. Just because something's more explicit, that gives it the trump card? They all get Yesod. So what's the answer for the Shita Mekubetzes? So the Brisker of says, no, because the nature of the Yesod by Chatas is a fundamentally separate din of Shirayim. But the Yesod of by a Korban Ola, and Korban Asham, that Yesod is just the formal act of Zrika, which the Chatas had on top. It's the formal act. It's not the Shirayim act. It's just the, that's the location where everything is. But for the Rambam, Yesod was a real special, unique din. By the Ola, and now we're saying by the Asham, the bottom wasn't anything special. The bottom was just, that's where everything goes. That's just where everything is sprinkled. That's where everything is supposed to go. Okay, it's a beautiful answer from the Brisker Rav. Now, promised Asham Tali. Let's talk about an Asham Tali. We get another Korban under our belts for Korbanos. We learn through Korbanos.
How does that answer the Hava Min of the Gemara as to why Asham and Chata, Asham and Ayla, which should go first?
So when you have now Asham versus Ola, let's try to figure that out.
Fine, they're both sprinkled in the same place.
Oh, good. Let's plug. Let's start the plug now. Asham versus Ola. So now what we're saying is that maybe the Asham should win. Why they say about the Svara for Asham is Kapara? Oh, but the reason why it might lose to Ola, which is Khalil, is because it's not a true Kapara, like Chatas is. Remember we said how off the track. It's more like a little bit Ola like a Kapara. It's more Ritzoi. It starts off from Kapara, but it doesn't end up there. So maybe that Khalil could beat it. Maybe by that Kula Hashem is a greater Mida. Maybe by that it could win. So now let's talk about Asham Tali. When is an Asham Tali brought? It's called the hanging Asham. It's when somebody's unsure if they violated a Kares. I don't know. I'm not sure. Did I violate the Kares or not? I don't know if I did it. So.
What?
Shtei Chatichas. Famous sugya Shtei Chatichas over here. You can give the special share on that one. That's a hard one. That's a hard one, Shtei Chatichas. Okay, I'm not touching that one. Now. So it seems to me that an Asham Tolui, just from thinking about Asham Tolui and why it doesn't really throw a kink in it yet, is because an Asham Tolui isn't there for a Maisa Avera like a Chatas is. Chatas, you know what the sin is, and you're fixing the sin. Right. By an Asham Tolui, you don't really know that you did a Maisa Avera. You wonder, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I just want to cover my bases. So on one hand, it's not really attacking it like a Chatas. The question is, we have to ask ourselves, what's the relationship of an Asham Taloi and the Asham itself? Is the relationship very direct? If it is, then we're going to have our proof that an Asham is more like an Ola. You understand the A to B to C? Asham Taloi is not really like a Chatas, because it's not fixing any specific sin, because you don't know if you did anything. Chatas, by nature, is taking care and wiping, removing a stain that you did. It's taking care of the Maisa Avera. When you have to take care of something you're not sure if you did, that's not cleaning anything. What that is trying to, it's like Ola, like almost. It's trying to repair your relationship. God, I don't know what I was doing here. I might have violated, I might not violated. So what I'm really doing is repairing relationship. It's not sin cleaning. Yeah.
The Asham Tali suspends the Einish, right?
What?
Until you decide
what you did or not.
You're not going to get
so
punished.
It pulls it very far away from Chatas. So the question is, if we know that Ashram Taloi is not like a Chatas, more like an Ola, if we could show that an Ashram Taloi is similar to an Ashram, then we now know that our Ashram is more like an Ola than it is a Chatas. Okay? That's the way we might go with this. So one way to look at this very simply, I put there in the packet, is that the Rambam counts it as two separate mitzvahs, an Ashram Vadai, a regular Ashram, and an Ashram Taloi. That could be one hint that don't start making all these links, Einhorn. They're separate. Ashram Taloi is not the same as an Ashram. It's separate worlds, and therefore you have no proof to Ashram whether it's more like Chatas or an Ola. They're separate categories. However, I looked in the Parsha. You know where you learn Ashram Taloi? Ashram Taloi is mamish learned in Perek Hey, smack in the middle of the Parsha of the Ashram Vadai. That's where it's learned. It's mamish in the middle of the Parsha. So that would tell you that there is a little bit more of a link. Now I close with this. This becomes Halacha Lamaisa. Why? The tour in the Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim, Simen Aleph. Right at the beginning. I have the tour in the packet. He says, when you finish reading in the Korbanos, you get so drained of not having anything on Halacha Lamaisa afterwards. It's refreshing to find something on Halacha Lamaisa. Ukishi Yisayim Parshas Ola. What page in the packet does that? Middle 11. Ukishi Yisayim Parshas Ola. When you finish the Parsha of Ola, you say, Yomar Ribon Ho'olamim. Yehirat some of next is a chashuv makubal. It says, though I brought before you the korbanos ola in its proper time, and so too you should say the parshas hamincha, the shlamim, and the asham. And after the parshas chatas, though, don't say that line that God, this should be to you like I'm offering it to you as an offering. Why you do not say this line after the chatas? Because the chatas can never come as an adava, as a gift. Right? Meaning asham could come as an adava. Ashram could come as an adava. Oh, excellent.
What? Or the other side of the Gemara. Rabbi Lozor, he turns into Ashram could. Ashram Chassidus.
Ashram,
Ashram Tolle. It turns out not to be a chait.
What? But at that moment, it was an adava. At that moment, when you offered, it's an adava. So Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Kairo on the spot asked this question. He says, what do you mean? A korban asham could be a neder or a nedava? That's not what we paskin in the Gemara. We don't paskin that way. Not neder or nedava. So Beis Yosef's first answer is that when he said chatas, he meant to include within that an asham vadai. Asham vadai was included with chatas. Why would you think chatas includes asham vadai? Where did you get that from? That's the very first Maror Malkum we looked at tonight. The Ramban. The Ramban said, chatas kol el asham.
In Karbanos, we list all of the types of asham vadai. And then in the middle there we say Ashram Safi, you know, Ashram Tali.
In the middle say Ashram Tali. That goes against the Beis Yosef here. So you have to look at the paragraph. Together. And the Ashram in the line above is referring to an Ashram Tali. The problem with that answer is just the word. It's tough. But it fits with the Ramban. The way the Ramban put it is Ashram, Chatas Kolul Ashram. His next answer the Beis Yosef gives is that the Azam Ashram Vadai is being, this is a great answer the Beis Yosef. True in Ashram Vadai can't be Benadava. But since one of the things in the subdivisions of an Ashram Vadai is an Ashram Taloi, it's enough to keep it worthy enough to get the Yehi Ratzon at the end. You understand? Let me say that again. Yes, Ashram Vadai can never come Benadava. But since there's a category of an Ashram, e.g., Ashram Taloi, which can come Benadava, that's enough for the paragraph of Ashram to get the Yehi Ratzon line, which is a Nadava type of line. So what that is in effect doing is saying that Ashram Taloi is a... First answer is saying Ashram Taloi is a separate category than Ashram. Ashram is more like Chatas. The second answer is saying in the Beis Yosef, no, Ashram Taloi is a subdivision of Ashram, not like Chatas, more like Ola. Much more like Ola, not like Chatas. Linking the Ashram Taloi along with the Ashram. We stop there for today. All right.